So, good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. on Monday, June the 17th. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Here.
McCarroll.
Here.
DeSmit.
Here.
Sias here. Olson.
Here.
Boyer.
Here.
Daney.
Here. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any town hall?
Nope.
And Madam President, I'll make a motion to amend the agenda to include the investment report from Sawyer and Toledo.
Second?
I'll second it.
Roll call?
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
McCarroll.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Okay, John.
Ready for me?
Right.
Wow, right to the fire, thank you. Well, first of all, John Felduto from Sawyer. Felduto again, good to see everyone. Sorry about the agenda thing. As I mentioned to Carolyn, we had you on the calendar, I think we were here in March.
Yep.
And then I looked forward and said, okay, June's the next date, put it on the calendar, and then I never reached out to confirm. So I appreciate you letting me give you a quick update. I did hand out reports to the board members. If you take a quick peek and turn to page 3 of 16. This will just be a review. Page 3 of 16, and we'll start with the general fund. If you look in the top portion of the page next to the pie chart, you'll see the total value as of May 31st, was $3,228,000. If you look towards the middle of the page under cash flow review, and look all the way to the right-hand side, we'll see the year-to-date numbers. That gives us the first 5 months of the year. We started with $3.6 million in the general fund as of January 1st. We did have $450,000 of distributions that happened in the month of May. Capital appreciation, $1,247, meaning the value of the assets went up slightly. Income and net expenses, year-to-date period, $63,000, so nice rate of interest coming in. Change in accrued income, some of the income that had been accrued prior was actually received in May, so we take that away from the accrued number. And you have an ending value of $3.228 million. Tells us the investment gain for the five-month period is $63,230. If we look over to the right-hand side, essentially for the year 2023, plus the first 5 months here of the year, there are $178,398 of total return, if you will, since inception of the relationship. Projected income just gives us a look at the next 4 quarters worth of cash flow from income only. And at the bottom of the page, income plus maturities. And you can see over the next 12 months, we're at $1.9 million. And of course, those are dollars that are either going to mature or interest payments that come in and will reinvest, or they'll be available, obviously, for you to use in the deal as well. Flip to the next page, and we do track the growth of the portfolio as well as the inflows and the outflows over the last quarter-by-quarter periods. You can see we started, if you look at the bottom of that list on the right side of page 4, we started with the first deposit of $1 million and then another deposit of $1 million in the first quarter of 2023. And then subsequent to that, there were quarterly deposits, $250,000, $500,000, and $750,000, respectively. You see the outflow that happened during the quarter, as I mentioned a minute ago. And you can see on the right-hand side, then, the quarter-by-quarter gain from an investment perspective. So you can see it's pretty straightforward and steady. A little bit of that bouncing around has to do with interest rates moving. So when interest rates go up, values go down a little bit. When interest rates go down, values go up a little bit. We'll have a little bit of that. But remember, typically we hold everything until maturity. So at the end of the day, your par value is what you receive. There's not any volatility in price at the end of the day. If you move over to the right-hand side, or page 5, you see the breakdown of the maturities in a bar chart at the top of the page. So you can see everything is 2024, 2025, for the most part, a small portion of 2026. And at the bottom of the page, you see the allocation. We've got a nice diversification with treasuries, CDs, government agency securities, and a small amount of taxable municipal securities as well. Still very short-term portfolio by design. Again, this is an alternative to cash or bank account, if you will. Page 6, page 7, those are the securities that we own in the portfolio. Again, we don't own one big chunk of each category, but instead we have nice diversification as well. And you see on page 9, the transaction ledger. So this is for the month of May. Remember, we do email these out on a monthly basis. Starting from the top, the bottom, and working your way up, you do see the income or interest payments coming in. You also see what's categorized there as sell on May 16th. That was a Treasury bill that actually matured. They get classified as sells even though it was actually matured. $117,000 came in. And we purchased a Bank of America CD the next day with a nice rate of interest attached to it. You see a couple, another interest payment, a couple more at the top there, and you do see that withdrawal of $450,000 went out on May 21st. Move over to the next page, page 10. This is the capital needs fund. Market value at the top of the page there, about $796,000 as of month end. Similar format, I'll just give you the year-to-date bottom line, your investment gain year-to-date on this portfolio, $14,287, and over to the right-hand side, $46,909 total gain since the inception. You've got the projections at the bottom. On the right-hand side, page 11, you do see that this account funded initially with $750,000, and since then there have been no inflows or outflows, so it's been a steady value. And you can see the gains on a quarter-by-quarter basis on the right-hand side there. Flipping one page, you see the value of the portfolio, the allocation of the portfolio in terms of the maturities, 2024-2025. Holdings on the right-hand side are page 13. Again, nice diversification there. Page 15 is the cash flow. Not a lot happening during this particular month in this portfolio, just some interest payments that came in to the portfolio, including the money market interest and the U.S. Treasury and Federal Home Loan Bank interest that popped in. And then page 16, we always include a little bit of a fixed income market update on a month-by-month basis, and you can see that second box on the page, the U.S. Treasury yield curve. This just highlights the change in interest rates that we've seen since the beginning of the year. So January 1st, essentially, was the red line where interest rates were. Note that the short-term rates, 1 month, 3 month, are very much the same as they were at the beginning of the year. But during this period of time, interest rates have actually gone up a little bit, especially when you look out from 6 months on out in terms of your maturities. The benefit there, of course, is if you're investing dollars, that's a good thing. You want higher interest rates. But if you're financing a house or a car or a boat, you don't want higher interest rates. So long story short, for the investment side, which is what we're here for today, it's nice to see interest rates staying up and giving you a nice yield. So that is it in a quick nutshell. I'd be glad to answer any questions that I can, but the news is good, so I figured I'd come this month instead of another one that maybe is not so good. Go ahead.
The cash equivalent return in May was 4.9%, according to this report.
The yield in the money market, yeah, 4.9. Yes.
Is that apt to stay fairly constant? Short term, I mean, over the next 3-4 months, you think?
Yeah, we haven't seen, you know, it's going to really hinge on what the Fed does. You know, if the Fed does drop interest rates, which they've talked about potentially doing, but then that's become less of a likelihood over the, you know, we haven't seen it yet this year. In the event that the Fed would drop short term interest rates a little bit, that might have an effect on that, but not anything monumental unless they drop rates dramatically, which we don't expect. So for now, I think we're in a pretty good spot. Especially in light of, for example, the operating where you might need the funds, that kind of thing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Right. Thank you, John.
Well, as always, I enjoy visiting, so I'm going to listen in for a little while, but I don't need to leave at 7:30.
You can go.
Are you sure?
No, you can go.
You want me to go?
I want you to go.
All right. I'll leave. I'm not sure if you're going to talk about me or not.
No, you're not.
All right. I'll pack up then. I don't want to overstay my welcome.
No, you're fine.
All right.
You're always welcome, but you can leave now.
All right. Either way, it's fine.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. Our consent agenda. Items to be considered and included in our consent agenda. Trustee Olson.
I'd like to remove item 1A, minutes from the May 20th board meeting, and C, approval of transfer of funds from the NOW account to the Schwab general account.
Anyone else? Okay, can I have a motion for?
I'll make a motion.
Second? To approve the rest of the consent agenda.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Carl.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Zayas, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Blair.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Okay. 1C. No, 1A. Sorry.
1A, I would like to amend the minutes of the May 20th meeting by making the following correction. On page 5, the last paragraph, line 7, replace $2 million with 2 mils, M-I-L-S.
What is that?
And that's it.
All right, so...
What I said at the board meeting was that we're paying 2 mils for invested dollar to Schwab or to our investment firm, and not $2 million as the...
Is it not the same?
As it reads no. Currently.
It's not the same?
Then for... I'll make a motion for the change.
And I'll second that motion.
Roll call.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Carl.
Yes.
Ms. Smith.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. And for 1C.
Okay. I'd like to amend the amount of the transfer to from the NOW account to the Schwab General Investment account by increasing it from $450,000 to $1 million. The reason for this is twofold. When I took a look at the cash in the account, the analysis that was done by Director Wessel indicated that we would have 760 some thousand after the $450,000 transfer. I believe that we can easily transfer an additional $550,000, leaving that with $216,000 currently. However, according to my analysis of property taxes that we will receive from DuPage County by the end of the current month or before the next board meeting, we will receive for the first installment an additional $250,000. So there's no reason to keep additional funds in this account. Currently, as we're all aware, we only earn 0.1% on funds in the NOW account, and as we just heard our investment advisor tell us that we're currently earning 4.9% on invested cash equivalents. That would result in an additional $2,200 per month on a net basis that we would earn in interest. I also looked forward to the cash receipts that we can expect from over the course of the next 3.5 months. And besides the additional $250,000 that we can expect from DuPage County, taxes for Cook County, according to them, are due for the second installment August 1st.
That's correct.
And so we will receive approximately another $478,000 in August or early September. So cash flow going forward won't be impeded and shouldn't require, although the method of transfer between our investment account and our NOW account is pretty easy. Shouldn't require, at least short term, for us to do anything further until probably August. So I'm making a motion to move $1 million from the NOW account to the Schwab General Investment Fund account.
A second.
Can I, before I'm curious, I'm going
to
second.
You need to make a second.
I'm going
to
make a second.
Then we can have discussion. Okay, now discussion. Lynn?
So I wanted to ask Director Wessel if that transfer was made and it's leaving us a balance of, I think Trustee Olson said 216. I did the transfer based on the fact that we have the fire sprinkler project and the cabling and the IT project, and I wanted to have enough money in there to cover those expenses. And from past history, I was under the thought process that the DuPage County taxes will not come in until late August or early September. So I'm just being conservative.
The additional first installment payment that was due June 1st, historically, we have gotten $200,000+ in later June, early July. Based on 50% of the taxes that were billed after the adjustment, we should receive at least $250,000 in additional taxes. And many people, for reasons unbeknownst to me, pay their second installment early.
I'd be more comfortable waiting to make that transfer to the investment account when we actually have the money in the account.
Do you know when the sprinkler and cabling projects are going to be?
Johnson Controls was out here on Friday. They are due back here on Wednesday, so we are still waiting for the smoke detectors to be delivered, but they're installing the wiring. As soon as that goes, we are hoping to move as soon as possible.
I'm not comfortable with the million. My ceiling, I think, would be maybe $750,000. I know that the money's coming, but I would prefer, as Director Russell said, we do have these that we can be paying out on. You're saying $2,200? Is that what you said you felt that we'd be getting in interest?
For the $550,000, we would get an additional $2,200 in interest.
$2,200, okay. So
if we only transfer $300,000 additional, then you can have that.
Right.
And the disadvantage of the account we have for now, and it was set up deliberately, is that we do pay a fee for money sitting in the NOW account so that it has the backing of government securities. They charge us for it. Besides only paying us 1/10 of 1%, they charge us for that money.
I don't believe that they do. I think we're FDIC insured with no fee.
I believe if you look at your bank statement, you will see that we're being charged on a monthly basis for
it. It is a $69 charge. I have seen that. That $1 million threshold is just a little bit too much for me. I would rather,
We can always move money back if we're short, but we're not going to, realistically, we're not going to be paying for any substantial portion of the fees for the sprinkler system until the August board meeting, even if they start the 1st of July, because we don't immediately write a check for those types of funds without board approval for those disbursements.
I think I hear a lot of conversation, not every month, but many months, about where is this tax revenue, when is it coming. I think most of this board was here through COVID when a lot of things were delayed. I don't think that's going to be around again, but I think it's prudent to wait till the money's in the account. I like the idea of getting more interest. I think it would be a significant black mark against us if we somehow got ourselves into a spot where we didn't have available cash. I would characterize that as phenomenally unlikely. Why not make it zero? Just remove any chance of not paying your bills. The number that was suggested was 450. I believe it was President Daney suggested 700,000.
750.
Was it 750?
Yes.
750. think Trustee Olson makes some valid points. I just wouldn't be comfortable putting that much in before we have money actually in our account.
And I feel the same way. I mean, it's been on the board. Money's supposed to come in, But if you look at the numbers, it's supposed to come in. That doesn't really cut it when you have to cut a check. If the money comes in, you can transfer more. I think it's worthwhile to wait.
So we want to make a motion to transfer $750.
There's already a motion,
on the floor.
And I'm going to call a question on that motion.
We have to vote on the motion, or can we amend the motion before we vote?
Well, it's been moved and seconded, so actually it's on the floor right now. It should be voted up or down.
Okay.
And then another motion could be.
Okay. And Jen, we'll do the roll call for, as stated, to move the million.
Correct. Yeah, this roll call is for Trustee Olson's motion for the $1 million. Trustee Barry?
No.
Lucaro?
No.
DeSmit?
No.
Zayas? No. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Danny?
Yes. No. I'm sorry.
No?
Okay. No. and so now I need a second motion to move. Well, we're moving $450, so yeah, but it's
$750.
It hasn't been. That motion has not been made.
Okay. I make a motion that we transfer $750,000.
Second.
So for discussion, my question is: so June 17th, did you already move that $450?
No.
Oh, okay.
Total.
So this is going to be total
$750.
Gotcha. Okay. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Lucaro.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Zayas, yes. Olson.
No.
Boyer.
Yes.
Danny.
Yes. So just to clarify, we are making a transfer from the NOW account of $750,000 to the general fund for, in Schwab.
Schwab.
Yes.
That's correct.
All right. So we've taken care of two separate items. We've taken care of the consent agenda. Correspondence?
None, but I just wanted to give out a shout out to Katie for doing the minutes. That was her first go at it, and I think she did a great job. So thank you, Katie. Congrats.
Thank you.
Katie.
Only one change. That's pretty good. Pretty good, Katie.
All right, reports, questions, answers.
So there was a discrepancy with about $210 in the director's and officer's insurance. So I'm just having the board approve it. So if I can have a motion to approve the $210.
I'll make a motion to approve the $210.
For the director's and officer's insurance.
Director's insurance, yes.
I'll second.
Okay. No, I have a...
Right.
Question.
Well, we needed this. Now your question.
I didn't hear us call for questions and comments from the trustees. We skipped last.
No, I did. I did say it. I can play it back. I did say it. So questions and answers. So since we have this action item on the board, let's vote on this, and then we can go back to your reports.
No, he has a question about the director's and officer's insurance, correct?
No.
He has a question on the reports, questions, and
answers.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He didn't hear me.
Oh, okay.
So we're discussing the D&O insurance, $210 difference.
Yes.
See if there's any discussion.
Roll call.
All right, Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Vicaro.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Zayas, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Danny.
Yes. All right. Back up. Reports, questions, and answers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now I get it. Okay. No, we just totally skipped that part.
Wait,
sorry.
No, she said it.
I have several things. First of all, I too would like to compliment Katie for the minutes that she took.
Thank you.
I thought they were very well done. The fund balance policy that was provided by Director Bussell after last meeting at the request of Trustee DeSchmidt is incorrect. And I do not understand why it took us a year from the time that we passed the motion to amend the, for us to actually get a written copy to see that it is incorrect as written. I thought that policies were supposed to be being put out where trustees can see them once they're completed. And that hasn't happened. What it says, what was passed at the meeting a year ago was that we would have at the end of a fiscal year the equivalent of no more than 3 to 4 months in any of the fund balances other than the general fund. And what the policy says as it was distributed is 4 months to 1 year, and it was not in any section of that motion made and passed by this board stating 1 year. So I have a real problem.
Incorrect version may have sent out. I do recall making those changes, so I will double check and get the correct version sent out to you. I know that we made those changes.
New phone system. I think it's wonderful that we have it. I do have a question. I happen to have the opportunity, not deliberately, but because of timing, to call the library twice since that's been installed. Prior to our opening at 9 a.m., I know some of the staff are in, and it prompted me to the look up by name, and it didn't work. I tried it on two separate occasions. I did bring this to Manny's attention. I don't know whether that has been resolved or not. Last Thursday, I had the opportunity to call the library at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the front desk is, or the answering center is basically our circulation department. It rang and rang and rang to the point where it went to a voicemail message saying, circulation, we're not available currently, leave a message and we'll call you back. I think personally that we should be at the very least either answering the phone, or if it doesn't get picked up after so many rings, that it be extended to a different extension. I think it doesn't serve us well to have somebody who wants to get a hold of us not be able to get to a live person.
Well, did you leave your name and number?
I'm sorry?
Did you leave your name and number, and then did they call you back? Because perhaps they were helping attendees that were here. I mean, it specifically says leave your name and number, and we'll call you back. You can call almost any company out there, and if somebody can't get to the phone, it's going to say, please leave your name and number, and we'll call you back.
We discussed
this. It's the first time that it's ever happened to me.
That's because the staff is so great, and they're picking up all your phone calls. So we talked about this at the management team, or at the management meeting today. Correct me if I'm wrong, Manny, but with our old phone system, we had the same concept in place where if it rang and rang and rang, it went to voicemail. We never had the forwarding option in place. So it's always been that way. We didn't change anything with the new phone system. We feel as a management team that if we forward the calls, that what did we say?
Circulation that serves sort of as a direction. So, you know, if we just forward things blindly, they may end up getting sent back to the circulation desk anyway because they may need to renew an item or place something on hold. Or if they're trying to get to ILL, if they're trying to get an interlibrary loan, they may end up with youth services when adult services is department they want.
Yeah. And Mary said that it was so rare that it happened where they didn't pick up the phone, and when it does, people usually call right back and they're able to assist them. As far as the directory, did we have the directory in place with the old phone system?
So technically we were supposed to. I don't know how functional it was.
Right.
The directory, as far as I understood, was only ever mentioned during the holiday greetings. I just haven't had the time on my off hours to call in and check the functionality myself.
Yeah. So the new operating system is a work in progress, and we're still figuring out some of the kinks.
I don't know if the directory it requires somebody to, for example, set up their voicemail fully and not use the system greeting. And that may be why, for example, if Katie had not set up a voicemail greeting, then maybe why he might have been able to get in touch with her specifically, but he might have been able to get in touch with me since I had set up my voicemail greeting.
Okay. Sandra?
Sandra
had
it. Second.
Circulation serves as the de facto switchboard, and they are the experts on where to direct a call. So we do have our direct lines on the website, and patrons will contact us directly. But for instance, they will call adult services for a museum adventure pass, which we don't have access to. That should go to youth services. So ideally, it should go to one station, circulation, the de facto switchboard, as it has been. They are the experts, and they will direct that call accurately.
Thank you.
I only bring it up because it's a new system, there are problems, and you need to be aware of them so that we can.
Yeah, and I think that you mentioned it to Sam and I on Thursday when we reviewed the checks. You brought it to Mary's attention today, so I believe that this is a day-to-day operation, and we assured you that we'd look into it and work on it, so I'm not sure why it's being brought up at a board meeting.
I might ask, how many calls did you make that were picked up?
I'm sorry?
How many calls did you place to the library that were picked up?
Well, as I said, this is the first time this has happened to me.
You only called once?
It's the first time, other you know, during the hours that it's the library's open. I don't recall it having happened to me previously.
I think we should just move on. We understand.
I think everybody else gets a leash. I want to find out.
Yeah, no, okay.
How many times have you called and someone did pick up?
I'm sorry?
How many calls have you placed to the library that someone did pick up?
I have no idea, because I probably call here two or three times a week.
Oh.
I know the first few days I had called once, they were getting the kinks out of the system. So I figured if I need something, I'll drive over and ask. Yeah. But I know now I haven't had a problem. But there's usually two or three people in circulation at all times. But if, like Carolyn said, if they're busy, they're busy.
And
that's it.
I have a question. With the directory, so does it go by first names or last names? Because I call places and it's like, you may know it's Katie, but it's on the last name. Well, you may not know their last name, so I don't know how it's listed. Or is it just circulation?
Department.
Just
I don't
by
think
department?
We've gotten to
we don't
that.
Get an
we
names.
Haven't gotten to that
okay.
point yet.
It's supposed to be searchable just in general. T9 dialing, which isn't always great.
What is that?
T9. Basically, the old way you used to have to text people, where...
Okay, Manny. You're not gaining a fan with this phone system. All right. I'm just kidding.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. After a few kinks.
All new things need a little...
I didn't know if T9, like texting? Like when you had to do the ABC?
Well, if you look at your, even not a modern smartphone, you look at the labels on there.
Oh, that's how the Park District is.
Yeah. So,
okay.
You know, it's ABC, DEF, and all that.
That's how it is everywhere, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So I just had a question. Oh, Trustee Olson, are you done? Are you done, or did I even... Are you done? Did you have anything else? Oh,
yes.
Okay. So I just had a question. Trustee Olson brought up something with the May of 2023 policy that I initially inquired on. Is that going to be, I think that we may have a small accumulation of policies that we've already discussed and approved.
Maybe they should start going that to that page or section that Manny was going to put together so trustees can go and look at the updated policies. Maybe we should start instituting something as we go along, you know, whether it's one policy one month or two the next. But I think if we look back in May of 2023 and we've approved things in the fall and winter, then maybe we just start getting some of those in so we can check them on. We've already updated them.
Anyone else? Okay, moving along, the budget final.
Here. Well, I'll bring a motion, first of all, I'll bring a motion to approve the budget final 2024-2025 fiscal year.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Yes.
Trustee Eels.
At the last board meeting, when we were discussing budget, we talked about increasing the investment advisor fees from $7,500 to $10,000. And I didn't see that in the draft of the budget that's in front of us tonight. We currently, after tonight's action, will have $4.7 million in investments. And I honestly do not see that being substantially reduced over the course of the coming fiscal year, as well as I think it will probably increase to somewhere around 5.5, possibly approaching closer to $6 million at some points. So I would like to continue to suggest that we raise this line item to $10,000. Second, I had suggested at the last board meeting that we should true up accounting services to reflect the amount that we were paying to whoever we chose, and we chose governmental accounting, and their annual amount is $11,700, yet we're budgeting $14,000. So I'd like to see that reduced by $2,000 to $12,000. I have another concern about the library newsletter line item. We just paid an invoice for $7,900 plus a couple of dollars for the most recent edition of our newsletter. And at that rate, it would, just for printing, would be $31,600 annually, assuming no increase in those costs, and excluding the cost of mailing that is also supposed to be included in that line. And our most recent mailing that we did of a postcard, and I'm guessing probably postcard, newsletter, whatever, they're probably per piece. It doesn't make any difference what it's comprised of. It was $1,800 for that single mailing, which adds another $7,200. I see that we have a shortfall in this account of $6,800. And I'm still concerned, but I'm going to give up on it, about the developer donations. That's basically it.
Joe, I apologize. I should have made the investment fees to $10,000. I agree with you with the marketing, newsletter printing and delivery. I would recommend changing that to $42,000 to have a little buffer. I recommend keeping the accounting line as is in case there are any special projects that come up or things that we need James to do or the accounting firm, such as whatever. So I'm recommending that we keep it, but I am good with the $10,000 change in the investment fees and pushing up marketing, newsletter, and delivery to $42,000 and keeping the accountant thing as the same.
What line number is that marketing?
Marketing line. Newsletter and printing is W4.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question about under special funds, under unemployment insurance, the fund balance for at the end of May is a negative 1656.
Yep.
That is correct.
That is correct. Okay. So we need to be very careful when we levy to make sure that we levy more in that amount. And then that's also when Joe talked about making sure that we decrease our surplus fund accounts so that we're evening out those fund balances. And I double-checked with James and Jamie. We do not do it as part of the budget and appropriation. I'm verifying that with the attorney. We do that as the levy, but I'm just verifying all of that because I want to make sure that we get it right this year.
Thank you.
Anything else? So, we need to make a motion.
I think we can make a motion to amend specific line items and then do the whole thing.
Okay.
And I'll make a motion to amend line item R7, investment advisory fees, to $10,000. And also line item W4 to increase it to $40,000.
42.
$42,000.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion?
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
DeCaro.
Yes.
DeSmit.
Yes.
Sias. Yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Moving along. Educator loan policy.
Excuse me, we still have to vote on the entire budget.
We're making a that the motion was.
My motion was to approve the entire budget.
No, your motion was to change for the amendment. Okay.
Okay, so, but I also brought up, when I first started the discussion, I brought a motion to approve the entire.
But then you have made amendment to accept the two changes, so that's what you just voted on to approve the whole budget with the two changes.
Those changes.
That's what you understood. That is, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. Okay. Okay, so we have three policies on the agenda. And as Lynn had talked about, we are going to start going through all of the policies. We met at the management meeting and we went through with the public policies that are on the website, and we delegated them to each of the departments or the people who are in charge of them. So we're either working together or but we are going to be going through the policies. These just happen to fall in line because we are going fine-free July 1st, which we're very excited about. So the educator loan policy is reflected to be fine-free. The loan periods, renewals, and fine-free policy is showing the reflections of going fine-free. And then the iPad user policy also is going fine-free. So anything changed in the policies are related to being fine-free.
I'll move to accept this policy.
All three or just one?
Just the first one, because I have questions on all three of them.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Barry. Oh, sorry.
Do you have a question?
No.
I second.
Second. Yep. He's got questions on the other ones.
I have a question.
Okay. On the educator loan policy, and reading this, my understanding is that we have two levels of accounts, with the school having one account and then the individual teacher having a second account. The policy has a reference about any account having items 10 days overdue, billed, or $15 in fees. is this referencing the school's account, the total for all teachers?
The school's account.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how do you know that? It sounds like each teacher has some sort of account that.
Are they connected with the school?
Yes, I think it's per teacher.
Oh, it is per teacher. I apologize.
I believe so.
Okay. I apologize. That's Phyllis's.
I don't think the policy is clear on that. I think we should add language to the effect that this applies at the teacher level as opposed to the school level. The school is ultimately responsible for all the teachers' accounts, if I read this correctly, as far as any liability to the library. But the individual teachers are not restricted by the failure of one of their peers to not return materials on a timely basis.
I'm fine with tabling.
Which seems fine, but
I'm fine with tabling it and clearing up it.
I'll bring a motion to table the education loan policy.
I'll second that.
It was clear to me, but okay. So we're tabling that.
I thought that, wait a minute, because I guess
it's tabled. Okay. More discussion. Yeah. Loan periods, renewals, and fine free policy.
You have a vote. There's a motion to table. You get the vote, don't you?
No, it's not a motion. You're just saying table it, so we're not discussing.
No, that's a motion.
Yeah.
Table.
Yeah.
Okay. Table.
Roll call, please, John.
This is the motion to table the
motion
educator
to
loan
table
policy.
The educator loan policy.
All right. Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Ricardo.
Yes.
Smith.
No.
Zayas. No. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
No.
4-3. Yes.
Next, the loan period.
4-3, wait, what?
4-3 to table it.
4-3 to table.
Okay. The next policy, the Bartlett Public Library loan periods, renewals, and fine-free policy. I would like to propose two changes in this policy. One, in paragraph 7, line 1, to read, Bartlett Library does not allow charges for faxing, printing, friends, purchases, etc. Right now we've got other language confusing that line. I think we can eliminate a couple of words and make it read much easier and much clearer to anybody administering the policy.
Can you repeat your change again? What you wanted to state?
I'm sorry?
How do you want it to read? Basically, it states that anybody that, like right now, if you fax or print or you purchase books for the friends, you're allowed to put it onto your account, but we're not allowing that anymore. And I think it states it pretty clear.
Right. So we're eliminating that, so it doesn't need to be referenced in the updated policy.
Yeah, it will, because anybody who's been doing it and has taken advantage of it will say, oh, you used to do it, let me do it all the time, and now we can say, well, it's changed in our policy.
The second change that I'd like to suggest is in the chart, the last column heading is fines, and I'd like to change that because I think from a clarification standpoint to say daily fines, because all we have right now is $1 and it doesn't make any reference to a period of time. You know, we have a checkout period for each of those items that is a varying length. And I think for purposes of administration and purposes of public understanding,
it's a daily fine.
But is it a daily fine? It says loan period 1 week.
Right, so after a week, they don't return it. It's a dollar fine.
Per
what
day.
Is it a dollar fine per day?
Is
per
it?
Week?
Or is it just a dollar?
No, it's per
dollar
day.
Dollar per day.
That was what was agreed in February or March, I believe.
Good catch.
So let's see how we're going to approach this.
I don't think it needs to be daily. It's worked for us. It's been in the policy for a long time. I think it would make it more confusing. Why? It's very clear cut then. I mean, Sam, you were nodding yes.
Oh, I was just agreeing that it's per day, but it's clear to me.
Okay, well, I have no problem with it saying daily fines. But I don't see any change to what Trustee Olson was saying about the library will not allow changes to remain on charges to remain on accounts. That statement is fine. The only thing I see to change would be we're daily fine, so it is crystal clear that after a week they will be charged $1 a day. So this hour, everything else is going to be free.
Is that clear to staff?
So I'm making a motion to amend the wording on the chart to read daily fines as opposed to fines.
Second.
And to accept the policy as amended.
So one motion to accept the policy as amended to save daily fines. It's been motioned and seconded. Could we have roll call vote, please?
Just real quick, does that make sense operationally? Does that make sense in terms of?
This is just my two cents. I think it might make more sense if we're, instead of saying daily fines, I don't know why I feel like that might be a little confusing for the patrons, instead saying, changing the various columns to speak $1 // per day. Because I think that's a little more clear for everyone.
That's a good suggestion.
Because it means it goes to $1 no matter how long.
Yeah. So leave it read fines, but then where the $1 are /, per day.
Mm-hmm. That's what I
read. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Thank you, Sonia.
Is the motion amended?
The motion is amended to say, leave it as fines, but were the $2 ones, what about the interlibrary loans?
Same thing.
So all three would say $1, $1, 10 cents, /, per day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the amended motion, which we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Very good. Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Carl.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Sias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Dating?
Yes. And last, the iPad use policy.
I'd like to move to accept this policy with amendments that I will propose.
Oh, could I have a second?
What are you amending?
Wait, what are we missing here?
What amendments?
iPad?
Well, you'll tell us when during discussion.
No. Make the amendments.
I'm trying to get it on the floor for discussion.
Okay, then I'll second them.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
This is a clarification more than anything else for my own understanding. But under where to go for using the library iPad, it states that it is expected, however, that the borrower has general iPad knowledge and will be able to perform most basic iPad functions. That immediately raises the question in my mind, do we offer instruction on the use of iPads? Because we're assuming something that I don't know that all youth are familiar with iPads. I mean, it depends on their economic circumstance in terms of whether they've had exposure. I don't know in the schools whether they routinely use iPads or not.
I don't know if it's an iPad, but each school
varies, but like Chromebooks or whatever devices. So any kid who comes and checks out an iPad is going to be pretty familiar with the device and probably would be able to pick it up quicker than us, and probably teachers.
Well, I was going to say, you're probably better at age 12 than age 70.
I know that we used to offer kids computer classes a long time ago, but we stopped doing it because it's part of their day-to-day curriculum in the school system.
I think that language is also meant to reflect assisting a child with playing a game.
Or
like
play, doing
stuck
homework.
On a level.
So, if I may, that language is basically copied verbatim from the laptop policy, just changed to iPad. And it's more to avoid having staff be tied up with significant levels of assistance that we might not be able to offer, which would impact our ability to assist other patrons. It's not saying we couldn't offer an iPad class to teach general skills, but if you're checking out one, we might not be able to offer whatever level of assistance that person might need if they don't know what they're doing.
Good, we're done.
I don't know whether that makes sense or whether it's something, an opportunity that we still have for perhaps programs for children to learn some basic skills.
I can talk to Phyllis about it. As I mentioned it, though, they're learning basic skills as part of their curriculum in school. So, but it's an opportunity for us.
And if they're younger, there's usually an adult with them. You know, in the children's, they have that iPad usually. You know, if I would take it with one of my grandkids, I'd be sitting there, they were learning it now. But I think there's ample staff here in any department if they needed to just have an overview. This is how you turn it on, or this is how you whatever, if need be.
Or, as Carolyn mentioned, we could teach a class one.
Yeah.
They don't know how to use it, they don't have to rent it.
That's right.
So it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
I don't have any objection to the policy. I just wanted to raise the question about whether the skill levels were there or whether it was an opportunity for us to help. I think we still have families out there that don't have this kind of resource in their homes. I'm not sure whether iPads are functionally used in schools or whether other types of tablets are. So.
Okay. Just some clarification. It says on the top line about that the pad, iPad is exclusive use of families with children under the age of 12. Then down, potential borrowers must be 18 years of age or older. So the 12-year-old isn't checking it out. It has to be an adult checking it out. So we've got the parents.
Okay, so I think that the policy should stand as is. And we can look forward to maybe an opportunity if we need to have an iPad class. Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
McCarroll.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Zayas. Yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Daney.
Yes. Okay, discussion items. The proposed Lake Street TIF.
All right, the first item is the TIF district, I believe.
Yes.
And I ask that this be included on the board agenda. I know a number of years ago, this board, I don't know that anybody on the current board was a member at that point, but adopted, along with other governmental agencies, a stance on a TIF district that was being proposed for, I believe, downtown redevelopment in Barbara. And at the time, I think it's in the employee or the trustee manual, there's a copy of that. Anyway, we currently have, I believe, in the next month or to the village going out for public input on a TIF district along, I believe, Lake Street.
That's correct.
I don't know exactly what it's called, but I believe it's primarily industrial, commercial. And I know that it resulted in bringing some properties into the village that were outside the village limits, and also, I believe, in rezoning some residential properties that would have benefited us when they were developed into developer donations that would have benefited the library. I personally think that it is not to the benefit of the library to be supporting TIF districts. Generally, the findings are that TIF districts only benefit the developers and the municipalities in which they exist. Otherwise, it's simply a 23-year deferral of any additional taxes that would benefit the individual public bodies that are part of that.
Can I address a couple of your comments, please?
I was on the board at the time, so I feel I could speak to some of this.
I spoke with Carolyn, and I had a meeting with Paula and Christy Stone, who made up the maps. Our library has already been in this TIF district, okay? This area that they're talking about is commercial. It's already annexed into the village of Bartlett. It's already been annexed, okay? There are going to, you might want to write this down, there's going to be three different public hearings. They're scheduled for, it's, they call it the Lake Street Corridor. The first is to set up the TIF ordinance, and that's on July the 2nd. The second one is going to be July 18th, and that's a joint review board. And the third one is August the 20th, and that's a hearing. But it's not like us trying to, we don't need to annex anything because we are already in that. And when they annex anything, it's a state residential because it's the most restrictive, okay? So they will be rezoning it to B3, which then is commercial because that whole area is commercial, and it's to help clean up the blight that is there. So it is nothing negative. Yes, TIF districts will hold the money for 23 years, but it doesn't just affect the library, and the money will always come at some point to the library as all the other TIF districts have been, you know, coming to an end. But your concerns, you know, if you didn't think that those areas were already in our district, they are. And we do have maps provided, so there's an overlay so everybody can see what is and isn't.
I knew that some of them might not be because they weren't part of the village until they were annexed.
Yeah, but the annexation's already taken place.
Right.
And I would just like to say that when we had the downtown TIF district, the governmental entities worked together, and we, when we got formal communication from the village that this was actually going to go in, you know, like to have us vote on it, we then went back to our boards and said, hey, how do you want us to proceed with this? And then each of the governmental entities gave the directors direction on what to do. And that's how we all came together and voted no on the downtown TIF district. And I believe it was because it wasn't lighted. There were several different reasons. So when I reached out to Hanover Township, he said that they have not received any formal communication. And so just to hold tight until we get formal communication. And then James from the Hanover Township was the one that headed the governmental entities kind of together to go against it. So I'm in a holding pattern until we have formal communication from the village.
And certainly everybody is welcome to attend those meetings.
And also, since I was on the board. I was on the board at that time.
Okay.
And that Lake Street, I mean the downtown, basically there had been a TIF district there. They wanted to do another one there. And I think that was the big thing. People were kind of like, okay, you had 23 years. You made the changes and the improvements you made. But hey, it's over with. And I think as a result of our tax meetings that we have annually with all the different taxing bodies, when they said, hey, kind of like, you know, they called me, they called me, kind of everybody was talking to one another and said, we've got to act in unison. Because what happened, all the directors, what they voted against it, that put the burden of proof on the village board. They would have to come in with like a super majority in order to prove that the TIF district over the rejection by everybody else. They wouldn't, the village board said, hey, we're not going to do it. So it went away. This is a brand new TIF district, and so we see the documentation for it. I'm not going to make ruling one way or the other. Yeah. That's my personal.
Yeah, all I want to do is start the discussion so that we're thinking about it, because once they complete their third hearing in August, mm-hmm. then it will go to the village board, I'm assuming, and they will decide based on findings of the public hearings whether to proceed with it and put it on the ballot for approval by the community.
It's not approved by the community.
No, it's the board.
Support. It'll come here before that meeting, that third meeting. This board will meet and provide directions to our director how to vote at that third meeting. It doesn't get put on a ballot.
It doesn't get put on a ballot.
The village board could approve it or disapprove it.
Okay, so at some point we have to give the director formal approval.
Correct. In our board meeting.
Or our position.
July or
August.
August. You're having the third meeting August 20th.
Right.
So then it's brought to the board.
So if everybody's
September.
Truly interested in what's going on,
yeah.
July 2nd is the first, July 18th is the second, and August the 20th is when the hearing will be had. And that's when they'll vote.
So we need to discuss it in July.
Right. In July, probably, we should.
Right, because mm-hmm. August is going to be too late.
Thank you.
Yep. Foundation.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. So I guess Director Russell to put foundation in front of them. So I just wanted to kind of share some things here. So I'm Bartlett Public Library District, might be referred to as Bartlett Library because I'm not going to say everything, same thing over again. So I'm bringing the foundation and Friends advertising concerns to the board because the Friends concert was not publicized as previously done. And the foundation's current event, the car wash fundraiser, which is going on now, is not advertised as it was when we did Patty Perkins for the Love of Patty or the author's event on an icon or button. So I'm asking for the Bartlett Library to provide a separate icon button that on the main webpage. So just so everyone knows what I'm saying, icon button would be this. So at the bottom, it's got a friend, okay? So I'm just asking for that consideration to have their separate icon button on the main webpage to be utilized for, you know, any of foundation or friend event or fundraiser as previously demonstrated. The foundation and friends are organizations we know that support the library. And in the past years, the partnership has been
evidenced by the library advertising both Foundation and Friend events on the main webpage. The library website has promoted these events on the main webpage with this icon button, you know, use. And recently, without any notice, that partnership's been reorganized by the director. Keep in mind, the money that both organizations raise helps support the library. And through the years, the library has placed Foundation and Friends information on the website icon buttons to promote their upcoming events and fundraisers. So I'm asking for the Bartlett Public Library's continued support for the Foundation and Friend events and fundraisers, which provide library materials, programs, concerts, and furniture. And, I'd like everybody's input, but I just wanted to show that I wanted this conversation to kind of roll in a positive way. So I like this icon, you know, possibly for Friends and Foundation, but maybe if there's an event going on, at the bottom, have the event, and at the bottom say, support the Friends and Foundation. That way people know they can hit this, they can scroll, they can see more of what's going on, but they need some leader to go. Like, nobody would know that there's a car wash going on at the Foundation because there's nothing that even says the Foundation to lead them there. So I'm just saying that on a positive note, you know, take this, be a friend of the library, maybe advertise something that's going on. Let's say the concert that we just had, that was coming up. And then at the bottom, you know, it could say support the Friends and Foundation, and then they can hit it, and then they can see more things that are coming up. But like I said, the Foundation doesn't have anything, so nobody would know the car wash is going on because the icon is basically a friend of the library, so people might be thinking the Friends. So I'm just throwing something out there. I know we're limited, like we don't have a banner that rotates through to show events that goes on, but I know when we did the For the Love of Patty in February, we raised just under $500, and the Foundation is trying to donate $500 a quarter in literature for health orientation and to promote, you know, wellness. So it would be nice if there was maybe something on here. So let's say the car wash is going on now, and something with the car wash being advertised at the bottom saying support the Friends and Foundation. So, oh, let me see what I can do to support them. Then they can see all the activities going on, you know, within those organizations. So it's just a suggestion. First, I just wanted to be positive.
I think that's great. Love the positivity. I wanted on record that I did not delegate staff to change it, that I think it was an oversight because of all of the different...
One of your staff told me it was you. You want me to tell you what happened? I called up and I said, is the concert still going on? I don't see it on the main page. Did they cancel it? And Marion Circulation said, we were told by Carolyn that there will be no icon or button for that.
Because
for the car wash.
Our assistant director, public relations manager here, we had a very fully busy graphic artist, and for the time being, we made an executive decision to go with the flow of what we had. So did I have them change it? Yes, but did I do it to ruin the reputation or not support the Foundation or the Friends?
Said you did have them change it.
It was an internal decision based on staffing issues.
I just asked.
It was an internal decision based on
staffing. And it's all over Facebook. Okay. Everything is on Facebook.
I know that. I understand. But not everybody is on Facebook. So that's all I wanted to bring up.
Well, not everybody is on the library's either. So.
No, that's true.
It's wonderful. It looks great. But there are buttons that people can hit if they're interested in scrolling that they'll see Friends information and Foundation information.
It's not just the Foundation and Friends info, it's an event. Just like, I think it's great that I can sit there and go, my gosh, there's this reading event going on, and I have a...
Okay, can we move on? Thank you. Everything else is informational only.
I'm sorry. I'd like to talk about the Friends.
Certainly.
I likewise have a similar concern, and there are a couple of things that have happened that really make me wonder why. A week before the 11th, I was in the library. I didn't see any posters at all for the concert. And I mentioned it to Mary as I was leaving the library. The new assistant public relations person happened to walk up to me in the lobby and introduced herself. And I asked her about that when she told me who she was. She said that she had been told by Carolyn that it wasn't important. I want to make sure that everybody understands that, you know, one of the reasons that the Friends do concerts is to try to attract people to the library. And the more people that we have here, the more opportunity that we have to expose people to what the library services are, what we're doing as a entity. And the Friends at their May meeting had asked our liaison, Mary, if she could have a table at the concert with the opportunity for people to sign up for library cards. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. There were people who came to the concert, and the numbers that were reported in circulations report were not accurate. We did not have 150 people. There were several counts done, and 120 was the top number. That was disappointing, but in part I think it was because we didn't have the exposure that we hoped to have. When the Friends put on a concert, it's gotten expensive. For 120 people, we averaged, our cost was $10 a person. And so, you know, in an organization that has a annual revenue under $10,000 a year, to spend $1,200 on a program and then not have a great turnout is disappointing.
Well, let me just, as comparison, Arts in Bartlett had a two-day weekend affair, okay? They were lucky if they had 50 people each day. And that was all over Facebook, and that was, again, yes, it wasn't the Friends, yes, it wasn't the foundation, but you cannot force people to come to events if they choose not to, or if there were soccer games going on. There were a couple of other events, actually, in downtown Bartlett that, you know, Ray was at one, I was here. So it as much as you'd love to think that once we say, hey, we're going to put our flags out and we've got a group that we paid a lot of money for, then either start charging the people to come if you want to see a return, or get groups that aren't that expensive. We've had cheaper groups in the past.
But the intent is not to have a return other than in attendance and drawing people to our location. That's really what we want as return, because that helps to promote the library, which is part of our mission.
The mission is great, but honestly, when they come for the concerts, they bring their chairs, they sit and listen to the music, and then they pick up their chairs and they leave.
Yeah.
They don't care about the library or what, oh, I got to do something for free. So, and I got a balloon, and I got a this, and I that. But, you know, honestly, Joe, I know how dedicated you are to trying to bring people into the village, you know, 40,000 people that live in this village, to get them to come to the library. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
May I ask, how does Friends choose the group? How do you all choose the group?
Well, I'm on the foundation.
Yeah, but you're a friend. You're a friend.
I'm a friend. Well, when we attended the Friends meeting, a person that's in charge of the group, which is Mary Ann, she puts out there different things. They've done research. There's somebody in the Friends group, Aiden's mom, I think, that was the one that looked into all the concert availability. And, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday were kind of Sunday gone, so they picked a weeknight. So I think that makes a big difference in attendance. Plus, it was the week after school was out. You know, graduation and school was out. People might have been vacationing. There's a lot of, you know, variables. So
there's a lot. Okay. So I come from an organization where we ask for a lot of feedback from the community. We don't choose people to come in. We ask the community what they want. So that's probably a big way to also get people in. Is putting a survey out on Facebook, if you have a Facebook page, and asking, what would you like to see next? That might draw in more people.
Yeah, Summit Tracy, I think, on the board, she posted to five or seven different sites. But I like the idea of like doing like a survey or feedback.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. Joe's the treasurer on the board, so maybe you could bring it back to the group. I like that idea.
It's not choosing for the public. It's the public choosing
right, exactly.
For the public.
Yeah.
We do have a recent addition, a Facebook page that I think was set up early this year. And we're struggling to get followers, but doing things to try to
hard to market. Hard to market.
You know, it's frustrating when. Let me say one more thing. We did have some people who attended the concert only because they had been at the rec center for a program, and when they came out of the program, they heard the music. And so they came over, and I honestly don't know whether they have ever been in the library, whether they were, you know, card holders or not, but it would have been an excellent opportunity for the library to offer material and offer enrollment as a card holder.
Did you email to Director Wessel, like that suggestion? Did you email that suggestion?
Yes.
You did.
Yep. Okay. That was communicated to Mary at...
But did you email her?
Mary was the liaison of the Friends, and she's the one that brings it back to the executive people.
I would like to summarize this conversation. The library and the library staff and the management team would do anything to support the Friends and the foundation. That being said, there has to be boundaries. Because your emergency or your crisis or the lack of planning does not mean that we stop our day-to-day operations and jump to do something for the foundation and the Friends. We are trying to get the graphic request order system in place. We do have an assistant director, public relations manager that is out, and I know you don't like hearing that we are still short staffed, but the fact of the matter is that the poster did not get posted because it simply escaped of our things to do. As soon as we heard the moment that we forgot to put the poster out, we were on it. So I think that the Friends and the foundation, they have great, great ideas. They support the library, but all I'm asking for is some boundaries, some support for the management team and the graphic artist department, and the fact that we're still short-staffed and we are doing the best that we can, which is pretty darn good.
Anything else?
Well, I just want to say I didn't have any, like, quote-unquote complaints. I just wanted to show the icon and see if on the bottom we could somehow integrate.
Lynn, we already knew that you called and talked to Mary about this, and we have already started talking with IT and public relations about
just
it, so
to make it,
it.
just to make it clear, because I feel like you're...
You've made it crystal clear.
Hostile.
Thank you.
I am not hostile. I called up circulation, Mary answered, and I asked, is the concert still on tonight? Because I don't see it on the front webpage. Did they cancel it because of the weather or something? And she said, no, it's still on. I said, okay, I've seen it on the icon. And she said, we were told not to put it on that by Carolyn. That's all I knew. And I hung up the phone. I said, okay, fine. Then we'll see what happens with the car wash. And then I saw that wasn't on, so that's why I brought it up. Just trying to see if there's a way we could use that icon at the bottom to somehow flex a little. So if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Just a thought.
So is there any new business? Any town hall? Hearing none to anything? We have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And I'll second that.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Trustee Barry.
Yes.
Vaccaro.
Yes.
DeSmith.
Yes.
Nias, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Boyer. Dane.
Dare I say yes?
Should say yes.
Thank you, staff.